you have your Bible, hold it up. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord a shout of victory today, church. Amen. Open your Bible to the book of James chapter 1. We're in a series on how to win the battle. And as Christians, we're all in a battle, aren't we? As Christians, we're all in a fight. We all have this battle, this warfare going on in our life. Pastor, why is it so hard? Because you have two natures. Pastor, why is it so hard? It wasn't hard when I was a sinner. It's because you only had one nature. But when you get born again, you get a new nature. So now as Christians, there's a war going on the inside of every one of us. It's called spiritual warfare. And that war that's going on is over the old man and the new man. So you have the old man, that's the old you, that's the nature Adam gave to you. You know Adam, right? Yes. Adam in the Garden of Eden. Not the movie star Adam. Not Adam West, Batman. You know, he just passed away, right? So, you know, we're talking about as you and I as Christians. So I'm primarily talking to Christians right now, because if you're not a Christian, you're a non-Christian, you don't have that warfare going on the inside of you because you only have one nature. That's the sinful nature. But when you and I come to Christ, we give our life to Him, our spirit is made alive, and now we're given a new nature. We're given a new nature, we're a new person, we're in a new family, we have a new father, we're developing new habits, and we have a new future. Somebody should get excited about that today. So that warfare, why is it a struggle? I'm trying to do right, I want to do right, I do wrong. That's the way it is with all of us as Christians. I don't want to fail. I don't want to give in, but I do. And the things I want to do, I struggle at doing. I want to help you go from struggling to being strong. God doesn't want us to be struggling Christians. God wants us to be strong Christians. In Romans chapter 7, it talks about what it looks like to be a struggling Christian. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about how to be a strong Christian. That's where we're going to go to today. But how do you overcome temptation? And how do you win the battle of temptation? And it's going to go on as a Christian until you die. And it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So I say, brace up, man up, build up, amen, grow up. Wouldn't you? Instead of running from our challenges, why don't we rise to meet our challenges and say, thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph in every situation. Amen? We're winners, we're not losers. Well, Pastor, I fail, but you're not a failure. Pastor, I've lost, but you're not a loser. Amen. So that's our mindset. And by the way, you have two minds as well. Did you know that? You have two minds and two natures. You have the old man, the new man, and you have the unrenewed mind and the renewed mind. And that's the struggle. That's what it's all about as a Christian, that fight that we all are in. Temptation comes from the devil to draw us away from God. Trials come because we live in a broken world. And if we respond in faith, we'll draw closer to God in a trial. It's a difference between a trial and a temptation. God doesn't tempt us with evil. God is a good God. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life. I got a message this morning before church of a young person in our church who has grown up in our church, and we just found out has been contemplating suicide and giving up. I say, don't give up. I say, don't quit. I say, remind yourself of your future. If you have a future, it gives you power in the present. Stanford did a study. Stanford. They did a study and they found out people with a long-term view were more successful in life than people with a short-term view. I'm going to say that again. Stanford University did a study and they found out people who have a big picture, have a vision, have a dream, that they have a long-term view, are more successful in life than those who just live from day to day with a short-term view. I think the Bible already told us that in Proverbs 29:18, that without a vision, you're going to perish. But with a vision, happy are you. So I say we need to think big and we need to think long term, not short term. Amen. So temptation comes to all of us and it comes to draw us away from God. Trials are part of life because life's broken, isn't it? Because of Adam and Eve in the garden, sin. But when you and I act in faith, respond in faith in the trials of life, it draws us closer to the Lord. Temptation comes from the devil, but inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. Are y'all ready to take off? Here we go. James chapter 1, and let's look at it. Blessed, and I want everybody here blessed. I want our TV audience blessed. I want our online campus, Kim and I, we want you blessed. And blessed means happy. And I want you to be the happiest people. I want you to be the happiest person you know. You know, Ethan, our grandson, you know, Ethan has a personality that I wish I had. Ethan is the happiest person he knows. I want you to be the happiest person that you know. Life will go better if you're happy, right? On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, ain't it grand to be a Christian? Ain't it grand? That was Nancy Honeytree, way back in the Jesus People movement, sang that song. I still remember it. Blessed is the man or the woman who endures. Everyone say endures. So you can't escape it, right, as long as you're breathing. Blessed is the person who figures out how to overcome. They figure out, where does temptation come from? Why is it coming? Who does it come from? And how do you overcome it? And that's what we're talking about all month long. So we should be happier by the end of the month. And we're getting close, right? Happy. Blessed, happy is the person who figures out how to endure temptation. For when you have been tested or approved, you will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Notice there's a crown connected to winning the battle of temptation. There's a crown. Now, when are we given crowns? In the hereafter. Are you with me, family? So that means how I handle today will determine my role, responsibility, and rewards in the hereafter. That's huge right there. That should have made Kim and I, that should have stopped us from eating pizza last night right there, Kim. Amen. Praise God. You see, how I handle temptation now, if I learn how not to give in to it, if I learn how to overcome it, if I understand why it's coming, from where it's coming, and how to overcome it, and the more that I do that, notice there are crowns being laid up in heaven. So how I react now determines my rewards in the hereafter. It's huge, isn't it? Stop and see law about that. Remember, people with a big focus long term, I would call it eternity mindset, are more successful. Glory to God. That was worth coming to church. Verse 13, let no one say when you're tempted, God is tempting me. See, God doesn't tempt us with evil, does he? God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anybody with evil. God is a good God. Next verse, verse 14. But each one is tempted. So God's not behind it. Who's behind it? The troublemaker, the tempter, the devil. He comes to deceive us, steal and destroy from us, kill. So it says, but when one is tempted, I am drawn away. Everyone say, drawn away. Drawn away. Drawn away. Drawn away. Now see, tomorrow morning, you're going to forget the lights and the videos, and you're going to forget the graphics, and you're going to forget all that went on here. But what you will remember is how you feel tomorrow morning. You see, churches all over town, at our size, we've all got fog, we've all got lights, we've all got barbecues, we've all got kids ministry, we all got children's ministry, we all got a cafe with a latte. We're all on television, we all got live streaming, but folks, at the end of the day, tomorrow morning, you know what I want? I want you to feel God tomorrow morning. You can forget the lights and the latte and the coffee shop. You can forget the screens and the HD. You can forget all of that, but I want you to feel God on Monday morning. That's what I want more than anything else. So notice that when temptation comes, it comes to draw us away. I don't want you to be drawn away from God. I want you to get closer to God. But we're drawn away when our desires, when we give in to our desires and we're enticed. So notice then, this is huge, that our desires are connected to what we're tempted or the area that we're tempted in. So all we have to do if we want to win over temptation is change our desires. Now, how do you change a desire with a better desire? It's called the law of replacement. You know, you and I can't change just by saying we're going to change. We have to replace a wrong habit with a right habit. We have to replace a wrong thought with a right thought. A wrong action with a right action. Am I connecting with you today? So notice then, if you and I want to get a handle on the battle, on the troublemaker, on the warfare, on the inside of us because of our old nature, new nature, unrenewed mind, renewed mind. Two minds, two natures. That's the struggle. That's the battle. If we want to get a handle on that, then we want to exchange wrong desires for right desires. How does that happen? Psalm 34. Delight in the, and he will give you the of your heart. Wow. See, if I start spending more time, here's a takeaway, start spending more time with him, I'll pick up his desires. Amen? Wow. All right? So we see that there. Now go with me to Romans chapter 7, Romans 7, verse 24 and 25. Am I helping anybody so far today? The struggle, why? Two natures. You know, a nature of Adam, what you were born with. A new nature, you got born again. The nature of Christ. They're in constant conflict. They're contrary. They're hostile to each other. And then you have two minds. It's called carnal or spiritual. Unrenewed, that's a Christian who never reads the Bible or acts on it, okay? That's what it means, carnal Christian. I don't want to be a carnal Christian. Anybody remember that back in the 70s? You know, that was, who was that, Steve? You don't remember? You guys forgot? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I don't have time for the tip of my tongue. Praise God. The guys in the back are knowing what it is. Praise God. But anyway, I don't want to be a carnal Christian. Okay? Because a carnal Christian is a struggling Christian. A carnal Christian is saved, but Jesus hasn't become Lord. A carnal Christian goes to church but never reads and applies the Bible. So you have two natures and you have two minds. And that's the struggle. Now, whichever one is the strongest today is the one that's going to win today. If my mind's renewed today, then I'm going to respond like Jesus. But if it's unrenewed, I'm going to respond like my old nature. Amen. All right, so look here, Romans 7, the Apostle Paul, the whole chapter is kind of depressing, but we can identify with it. The whole chapter is talking about a struggling Christian, a struggling Christian. And then he ends it here in Romans 7, 24, but there's something else deep within me in my lower nature. Notice the Apostle Paul. He's born again, right? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, correct? He had revelation of Jesus, right? Went to the third heaven. But he said, I still have to deal with the old nature. That's why, folks, you got to get on a Bible reading plan and not just read it, but you got to apply it. Because it's not what you know. It's what are you doing with what you know. It's can you process what I'm telling you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. That's where the rubber hits the road. Can we process it? All right? So, but there's something else deep within me in my lower nature. It's at war with my mind. Where's the war? Everyone say two minds. You didn't know that, did you? You have two minds. You have an unrenewed carnal, the old you, and you have a new mind. Okay? Put on the new mind, does the Bible say? Put on the mind of Christ, right? Doesn't it say renew your mind and be transformed? Yeah. You see, you'll never be changed by focusing on your behavior. You're only going to be changed by focusing on what you believe. And what you believe is made up of what you think. Now, this is worth coming to church today. You're never going to get in life what you want. Now, don't get depressed over that, but it's true. You're not going to get in life what you want, ever. You're going to get in life what you think.
Amen.
You're going to get in life what you think. As a person thinketh, so are they. Henry Ford, that great theologian, that's supposed to be a joke, folks. Henry Ford, the Ford guy, you know, that great theologian, he said, if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. You're not going to get out of life what you want. You're going to get out of life what you think. You are a result of what you've been thinking all last week. Got real quiet in this Lutheran church. Let's keep going. But there's something else deep within me in my lower nature. It's Bible, folks. This is at war within my mind. And it wins the fight. Where's the fight? You got a fight going on. And I don't want you to live your life as a Christian under my pastorship, struggling. I want you to be strong. So he says there's a battle going on, makes me a slave to sin that's still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant. But instead, I find myself enslaved by sin. Verse 25. So you see how it is. So you see how it is. My new life. My what? New life. So the old life wants to pop up, and the new life wants to be president, not just resident. Jesus doesn't just want to be resident, he wants to be president. He wants to be Lord, master, and in charge of our life. So he says, so then this is how it works. My new life tells me to do right, but my old life is still inside me, loves to do wrong. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. I can attest to that. Can you, church? Wow. Who? Not a what? A who? Not a what? Who will free me, getting free from me? Who will free me from these self-destructive thoughts? You see, you might be tempted today to commit suicide, like I heard about this morning. You might be tempted to quit, to give up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Remind yourself of your future. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on yourself. You might be tempted, you know, just to walk out and leave your family. Don't do that. You might be tempted just to give up on God. And you say, boy, if nothing happens today, I'm never coming back to church. Don't do that. Remind yourself of your future. Remember Stanford University, they found out people with long-term thinking were more successful than those with a short-term thinking process. So he says, so you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right. My old nature still inside me loves to sin. There's pleasure in sin for a season, just for a short time. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Oh, and now it ends on a positive note. Thank God. See, it's not in a what? What do you mean, Pastor? I don't get it. Can you make it clear? It's not in a program. It's not in a pill. It's not in a plan. It's not in a formula. You know, I believe in 12-step programs. We have Celebrate Recovery here. We're starting another new one in the fall. I believe in all that. But that won't bring lasting change. Lasting change only comes from within. That's why, you know, prison cannot reform you. Politicians cannot reform you. Well, it's getting more quiet in this. I thought we couldn't get any quieter than we were. That's why I'm not a politician, because politicians can't change you. Folks, policies and laws can't change people. That's why Jesus came. The Ten Commandments and then all those 600 laws that the Jewish people were to fulfill and they couldn't, that just worked on the outside. Jesus had to come because real change only comes from within.
Amen.
Within. You know, it's only Jesus, you know, he, hallelujah, thank God. It's a who. Who can set me free? J-E-S-U-S. Who can set me free? Jesus. He can set you free from me. He can set you free from those self-destructive habits, thought process, old patterns, addictions, the way you used to talk and act and think. He can set you free, and free indeed. Because he works on the inside, and that's where all lasting change. Never, you know, telling your kids to change on the outside. You'll never change your kid by spanking just about or correcting or whatever in the corner or whatever you do for their behavior. Because they'll never change lasting over just the behavior. You got to get them to think differently on the inside. Belief is what you have to change for a lasting change on the outside of behavior. But thanks be unto God. Look what he says. Thanks be unto God. It has been done. Y'all see that's past tense, church? Past tense. So, a takeaway. You and I need to know Jesus as our Lord and not just Savior. I'm talking to primarily Christians today. To take us from struggling to strong. Pastor, will we ever get perfect? No. I told you last night, you say, Pastor, what's the big deal with pizza? Because my nutritionist is going to spank me good when she finds out that I had pizza. Don't you tell her. Don't spread it around. Amen, okay? You know, so it's so important that you and I understand that we can't change ourselves. No one else can change us. Change can only come from within. And we need a Savior. Self-help, okay, good, I get it. You know, Charlie Tremendous Jones. Does anybody remember him? He spoke with Zig Ziglar and, you know, Wayne Dyer and you know, all of them. He spoke with all of them, all the self-help people and Oprah and all of them, Dr. Phil. And he had a huge bookstore out there in Harrisonburg, Pennsylvania. And one time I was out there at his bookstore and I'm over in that self-help section. This is Charlie Tremendous Jones. And he walked over there, and he saw me. I'm in the self-help section, you know, with all the Dr. Phil and all those people. And they're all good. They all mean well. They're all great. I'm not downing any of that. But I'm saying whatever they got is not enough. Norman Vincent Peale, great. All of that, it's wonderful. But lasting change is only going to come from within, and none of them can change us from within. Only Jesus. It's a who. It's not a what. It's not a principle. And I'm looking at those self-help books, and Charlie Tremendous Jones, he's the guy who said, you know, you'd be the same person you are today, 5 years from today, except for the books you read and the people you meet. You'll be the same person you are today, 5 years from today. This is what he's famous for. Except for the books you read and the people you meet. That's huge, isn't it? Charlie walks over there to me, and he said, get away from that section. I said, Charlie, your books are over here in this section. He said, get away from that section. Those self-help books will ruin you. You get over here and start reading Oswald Chambers. That's what he told me. Praise God. Give it up for Charlie. He's in heaven today. Amen. Spiritual father. So who's going to set us free? Jesus, J-S-U-S. So I got to get to know him as a Savior, and I got to get to know, look, family, what he's already done on the cross. You got to know your benefits. You know, say it with me. I belong, but now I need to know the benefits. See, if you're in Christ, you belong to a family, but you need to know the benefits of belonging. You ever joined a club, and you know you joined that club, and now you belong in that club, but then don't you want to find the benefits of belonging to that club or that group? Well, if you're born again, you belong in the family of God. And you need to know the benefits of being in this family. There are a lot of them. Amen. There are a lot of benefits. Over 7,000 promises in the Bible. But I can't claim what I don't know. Amen. All right, okay. So now let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You still got a few more minutes. The doors are locked anyway. You okay? Barbecue's cooking, but it's on hold. Amen. All right, so Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Let's go there. Romans 7 talks about a struggling Christian and ends with the answer to become a strong Christian. Romans 8, you need to really read that chapter sometime over and over and over again. They took a bunch of theologians that were really high up and dignitaries, and they asked them, if you were on an island all by yourself and you could only have one chapter in the Bible, what would it be? They all unanimously said Romans chapter 8. Every Christian needs to know Romans chapter 8 because it talks about your benefits that you have since you are belonging. Okay, so now he's going to go into the mindset of a strong Christian. Romans 7 was the mindset of a struggling Christian. Remember I told you have two natures and you have two minds. All right, so he says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ. What is that? If you're in him, then you belong to him, you're in his family. There's a study you need to do. There are 133 times in the New Testament, you'll see the phrase, in him, in whom, in Christ. You need to get a Strong's Concordance and look those phrases up and begin to read them and then apply them to your daily life. Those are the benefits of belonging. So that you're in Christ, you need to find out your rights and privileges. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Now, remember, when the Bible was written, there were no chapter and verses. You understand that, right? So there wasn't a chapter 8, verse 1. So he just got done talking about a struggling Christian. And then he says, but thanks be unto God. Who can set me free? Jesus. Not a what? Not a program, not a pill, not a policy, but a person. Jesus. And then now he goes into the mindset of a strong Christian, a victorious Christian. Perfect? No. Still given to temptation from time to time? Yes, until our dying day. But we'll be doing it less than we used to. That should give you hope. Amen? All right, so he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the... So we still have to deal with the flesh, even though we're in Christ. That's that old man. So he says, we do not walk according to the flesh, so you can have power over your flesh. You can have power over its habits, appetite, thought pattern. You can have power over that. In other words, you know what that's saying? You can say no. I just can't help myself. Yes, you can. Pastor, I just can't change. Yes, you can. Pastor, I just can't say no to it. Yes, you can. According to the Bible says we can. We can learn to say no. But you need to say no the instant the thought comes. That's key, isn't it? Because what you focus on, you give your attention to. What you give your attention to will eventually control you. What you focus on, you give your attention to. What you give your attention to, you give your affections to, you give your emotions to, and now you got to hang up and you're under the control of it. So if I go all the way back to the focus, I can stop that hang up. If I go all the way back to that focus, and what does it start with? It starts with a thought. So what I need to do is not consider the thought, not entertain the thought, not imagine the thought. And I need to say no to the thought and cast it down. And I'm not going to be led by that old mind. I'm renewing my new mind and putting on the mind of Christ. Am I helping anybody today? Okay? All right, so look here. I want you to see this. There is therefore now no condemnation. You know what that means? That when Dave sins, Bill, Tom, Susie, Henrietta, Harry, when we sin as those who belong to the family of God with these benefits, God doesn't get mad at us. Isn't that good news? That when you and I sin, when you and I trip, when you and I give in to temptation, we don't want to, but that particular day, the old man was stronger than the new. The new mind was not renewed. The old carnal mind cropped up with its thought patterns. And on that particular day, we gave in. Even on that day that we gave in and we were weak, God is not angry at you or me for tripping up over temptation. God doesn't get angry. God doesn't get mad at us. The Bible says that he leads us with his loving kindness. The Bible says he draws us with his loving kindness. God doesn't put us in a corner and say, I don't like you, I don't love you, you did wrong, I give up on you, I quit on you. God will never do that, ever, to those who belong to him. Somebody needs to praise him. Hallelujah. All right, let's for sake of time, let's go to verse 5 and 6, Romans 8, 5 and 6. So this is the mindset. Everyone say mindset. And you know, we're to renew our mind, right, every day. So that the old mind doesn't take over. Because as you think, you don't get out of life what you want, you get out of life what you think. Last night when I said that, boy, people burped up on that. They didn't like that last night. But it's the truth, isn't it? I'm talking about your thought life. I'm talking about the Bible says that you don't get what you want, you get what you think. And if we want to be strong Christians, we got to renew our thoughts, our mind, every day in the Word of God. Get on a Bible plan. Those who live according to the flesh have their, what, minds? Minds set. What your mind is set on, what you focus on, will gain your attention. What gains your attention gains your affection, gains your emotion, and now you are soul tied to it. It's called a hang up. It controls you. So if you want to break addiction, want to break a habit, you go all the way back to your thought. The initial thought. What do you want to do? Not consider it. Pastor, I feel like committing suicide today. Don't even entertain that. Pastor, I feel like, you know, I'm going to divorce my wife. Don't even entertain that. Pastor, I'm going to have an affair on my husband. Don't even entertain that. You see, when the thought first comes, if you won't consider it or entertain it, it has no power over your life.